Welcome back to Sources from the Sofa. It is me and Aaron today. We're doing a college football pod. We didn't get a chance to recap the games last week for week four right away. So we're going to do that a little bit before we jump into Aaron's college games of the week for week five. Lots of big stuff. I think this is your biggest selection yet. I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I only made space on the graphic that goes on Instagram, X, and on Facebook. There's only space for about 12 games, and you're fucking me here because I counted 13 earlier.
I think you're right. It is 13.
Yeah.
I would say
I might have to boost someone off.
Boost the last one, BYU Colorado.
That's ugly, dude. Why is that a game of the week?
It's not necessarily it's games of the week to watch, and it's that like 8 p.m. kickoff, you know, when everything else is kind of dying down. Maybe you're at the bar, maybe you're having a drink, you're just chatting with your buddies, you go, oh man, what, you got BYU Colorado on? You know, it's kind of like USC Michigan State, you know, after dark, you know.
Usually when I'm watching a game late at night at the bar and I'm by myself, I'm usually pretty hammered at this point. I usually don't have enough energy to talk to any girls. Maybe all the homies already left. And I'm just trying to sober up by any means possible just so I can get home. Or maybe I'm just waiting for the right person to come and spruce up my night with the right mixtures to get me going for another 5 hours. These games are always kind of like, you can tell who's pretty jacked up at the bar when they're watching dedicated to this time slot, because everyone's having a good time and there's like a few divorced dads. I guess now I fit it into that demographic more or less. And you're just like, fuck it, I'm just here for the game. Gonna pound out a few beers, maybe flirt with the bartender and get the hell out of here.
It's the late night degenerate game. That's really what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like basically you're either happy because you're up a few bucks from the earlier games, or you're like, shit, you're chasing this game. You're trying to get your money back while, you know, having a drink or two. And if it goes your way, you end up with a shot or two. If not, it's just like, you know what, cash me out and I'm gone. And you got that loser walk when you go home. We've all been there. You don't have that pep in your step. You just kind of got that, damn, took another L, and you head home.
You know, speaking of which, man, this year, turning 38, I have not had the same energy going out. I don't know what the hell happened. Maybe it could have been the last crazy girl I dated, but I just have not had the juice for it, man. It is weird. It feels like different years apart from last year to this year.
Well, Rome, you're almost 39 in what, less than 2 months?
Really? God, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, 38's almost behind you. So.
Yeah. All right. So we kind of did like a sneak peek, whether Aaron's BYU -6.5 makes it on the college games to watch against Colorado, 48.5 over under. We will see. I'll do my best, but lots of good games. Before we get into that, let's recap week four in college football. Some big games, some really impressive stuff. Texas Tech. First of all, Aaron, not a great week. Your first bad week in college football, but you've been stellar all year long calling upsets. This was, you know, everyone has them, but you liked Utah. I think a lot of people liked Utah.
I did like Utah.
Consensus all around is Texas Tech ready to take the next step? Well, we found out, dude. They were more than ready, and they beat the shit out of Utah really convincingly in their home stadium, one of the toughest places to play, even though it only seats 35,000. It was a great environment, but 34-10, they came out swinging.
It really wasn't even that close, Rome. And you might need to check my notes or your notes. I think I picked Texas Tech in our preseason college football talk to win the Big 12 conference.
You did.
I even told you when we were at Circa for that contest weekend that Texas Tech and the odds they were.
We should have did it.
Were a great shot to get it. I just wasn't sure if they were ready to take that leap. We'd seen Utah. Utah looked great against a bad UCLA football team. Kind of, I bought into the hype. And Texas Tech, they hadn't played anybody. A bunch of garbage teams. But what surprised me most about Texas Tech, and not even just the dominating fashion they won this game, but they had a great defense. I mean, Texas Tech hasn't had a great defense in my lifetime. Going back to the old Big 12, nobody played defense. It was always 35-40 shootout games, and now Texas Tech, with that defense, looks great.
Is this the same Texas Tech that was in the college basketball tourney?
Yes.
The fans that I took care of that looked exactly like you. I said, "Are you? Do you have family from there?"
It might have been. Yes.
Where's Texas Tech located, dude?
Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah, dude. Looks like you might want to do like a family tree, because I'm pretty sure you might be from Lubbock, Texas, not too far along. Because everyone looked like you and your mom.
Hey, well, I'm on the train.
You should adopt them as your team.
Might be my team of Texas, because I'm not a Longhorn. I do like a lot of teams in Texas.
I'm a Longhorn fan, but we will talk about them later because they're in trouble, dude. They are in trouble, I think. That was a really impressive win. I don't know if you thought like the TCO over SMU was an impressive win or not. 35-24.
Wasn't impressed by that win. Miami probably was my lock of the week. They destroyed Florida. I know Florida got it within 13-7, but Miami,
Miami
dominated
it.
That football game. If you watched it, we talked about it. I thought, Billy Napier would be fired out of Florida. Well, I was right about one power conference coach getting fired. The wrong
dude.
But Mike Gundy out at Oklahoma State.
That just happened today.
Yesterday.
I'm so sorry. Wait, did it happen? No, it happened Tuesday. Yeah. Today's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Got it. Guys, we're recording Wednesday night. It's almost midnight. So Gundy, I feel really bad because he's given us like lots of media bites throughout the years. Had like the second longest tenure in Division I. Great guy, just really tough, man. Him, like the longer tenured coaches right now, him and Sweeney and Clemson are having really tough years in this new NIL era.
Yeah, well, I'm going to defend Gundy here. I mean, he's only had two losing seasons at Oklahoma State, which was last year and the first year. I mean, what he's done for that program, generational. I mean, he's been there for 21 years, 18 winning seasons, as we just said.
And he's only like, what, 56?
I mean, if you go back and start looking at the clips, like you said, I mean, we talk about coaches being, not great with the media. Mike Gundy's always been great with the media. That dude's like a walking clipboard all the time.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to speak his mind. He's not afraid to go out there and just put it all on the line and like, hey. You guys want a burger and fries and a milkshake? Like, this is where you go. Sad to see him go. I mean, Oklahoma State did not do him any favors. I mean, they got cheap on the NIL. They got, basically didn't buy into the new way that college football is going. And if you don't buy in, you're out. You cannot win in today's college football without spending big dollars. Yes, you got to have the coaches. Yes, you got to have all that on staff. And Mike Gundy, I think, is a good coach, if not great coach. But he said it 3 weeks ago when he went up to Oregon and got beat 69-3. Oregon, $45 million. Oklahoma State, $7 million. He saw the product on the field, and I don't think Mike Gundy was that far off. I think the Oklahoma State trustees didn't like him calling his team out and program and NIL.
I think that's what it is.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, because he announced that a few weeks ago, and everyone's like, when you saw them struggling against an FBS school, now you see why, because they're basically spending the same amount of money. You just can't compete on this level and not wanting to put in some financial infrastructure there.
Rome, they lost to Tulsa last week. That was a Friday game. They were 14-point favorite. I think the line got bet down to 12. But I talked to sources, and they were saying, look it, Tulsa's got more money spent on their program than Oklahoma State. This should not come as a surprise.
Yeah.
And like you said, you cannot, try to make a dollar out of 15 cents. You just can't. And Oklahoma State's tried to do it.
That's hard.
And they've fallen behind the eight ball. And Dabo, like you said, I mean, Clemson's got all the funding and money in the world, but Dabo's kind of been hard-headed. It's catching up to him. I've never been a Dabo guy. I think he's the most overrated coach in college football. I think you're on that same train with me, Rome.
Yeah. I just don't like him.
I'll be happy when he's basically an ESPN studio in the next year or two, because that's where he's going.
You ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes. Been a while, but I do like that show.
So there's this guy that's like Larry David's friend, a tall, lanky guy. And he has like a really horsey voice and he always does like inappropriate jokes. And he's kind of like an asshole. That's who Dabo Sweeney reminds me of. And I just don't like him already because of that. Like, that's like, it sounds kind of stupid, but I am that petty. And that's like one of the reasons. And I don't like Clemson. I don't like the cockiness that they were for all those years. I just don't care for them.
I would say this. I mean, Clemson, I mean, Dabo's done a great job. He won, what,
good
two
job.
National titles there, got to a few others. I think they've been one of the more overrated programs for a while. I mean, but like, he did win games. He won a lot of games, but he's kind of gone to the, you know, they've got money, they spend money, but he hasn't gotten, he hasn't adapted really to the new transfer portal rules. Like, you know, we talked about 80% of his roster is the existing roster that they've basically out of the recruiting high school. It's catching up to them, and they've lost some good coaches. He hasn't replaced them with some great coaches, and Clemson's in a lot of trouble. Maybe they can right the ship. They righted the ship late last year, got into the ACC title game, ended up winning it and getting into the playoffs.
This year's a tougher year.
Everyone was talking about them going 16-0, but the way the ACC is going right now, with the two teams, Miami and Florida State, kind of running the conference, it looks like. Georgia Tech there too, with the win over Clemson already. Clemson, it's going to be an uphill battle for them to even get to the ACC title game.
Yeah, let's circle back with the games, man, because we're kind of went on a tangent here. GT, big win against Temple, just dominated that one. A lot of teams just either blown out their opponents or they were in a dogfight. The Notre Dame-Purdue game, what did you think about that one?
Really didn't watch a lot of it. Notre Dame won that game. We're gonna preview Notre Dame.
Okay.
Coming up here for the big game. I mean, Jason's not here. Maybe he would have caught some of that game, but I like Notre Dame. We've mentioned Rome 0-2. People asking, why are they still ranked? Are you kidding me, people?
They're two tough losses, you know, they like lost by less than what, three
they
points?
They lost to the team that's ranked number two now in the country on their field by 3 points. And lost to a team in the top 10 in Texas A&M because their kicker, our long snapper and holder can't, you know, get the snap right.
Notre Dame had big wins. South Carolina lost a tough one against Missouri.
Missouri's
pretty
good,
man.
Missouri's pretty good.
I was kind of surprised from that. Illinois gained their ass beat by Indiana. Remember, Illinois was ranked 9 at the time. They dropped down to 23. Indiana, I can't remember what they were.
19.
Probably, I think 19. They climbed up to 11, so not as much of a jump, but they just came and manhandled Illinois. I did not see that coming. But I've been kind of like, I've been like on the Illinois. It was one of the schools I thought about going to, so I have a soft spot. And when they became decent, you know, I'm kind of rooting for them. But Indiana looks really serious and every bit of the part of a contender building off last year.
I haven't really taken a look at Indiana's remaining schedule, but this Indiana football team this year's better than the one last year that made the playoff. They got a better quarterback. They've got a better defense. This Indiana team's good. Kurt Seguini's a good coach for them too. You know, he's a bit of a, you know, he just, you know, he wants to run the scoreboard up on you. He just wants to run the scoreboard
dude,
up on
63
you.
63-10, dude, against a pretty good school in Illinois. I got to still believe they're still kind of good, unless they just got beat by, you know,
they're on the games of the week to watch this week. We'll preview it. I got a side I like on that. So
Illinois' quarterback
got to bounce back.
Yeah, Indiana, Fernando Mendoza, I think now he's the Heisman favorite. Now that Mateer, it came out that he broke his hand during a big victory against Auburn. I watched that game. That was pretty exciting. I thought Oklahoma probably could have converted on a few more drives, and Auburn made it really tough, but that was a pretty big victory by Oklahoma Sooners.
I agree. I mean, Auburn kept that game a lot closer than I thought. I thought Oklahoma would win that game by double digits, but maybe that had to do with the quarterback breaking his hand in the first quarter they mentioned.
They didn't even mention anything during the telecast. Yeah. It just came out, what, today or yesterday?
Today, I think.
He's getting surgery.
Yeah, out
he's
of month.
Out. Yeah, that's a tough break, man.
Dude, I mean, it really sucks because Oklahoma's playing really good football. And
they're on a good one.
And he's going to miss the game against Texas in the Red River Shootout. which, you know, which I was, Texas, I was really looking forward to that game. I mean, I still will, but I mean, it kind of the juice is out a little bit per se. Tough for Oklahoma because,
well, it's out, and then like Arch Manning hasn't looked great at all. Even like this past game against Sam Houston, like it was efficient. Well, he got 309 yards and touchdowns, but
well, I mean, I think the thing is, Arch Manning, he seems like a cool dude, but he's had a rough year, and then he runs in a 4 yard touchdown run and kind of, you know, stands over.
That?
I saw.
I didn't like that.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. Like, if you're balling and you got like 15 TDs and one interception, then you're okay. But it's like, dude, you threw 10 incompletions against
if you're
bad
beat up
teams.
Sam Houston, all of a sudden you have a good game. Honestly, it was his first good game of the year, first complete game.
And Sam Houston State's terrible. Exactly. I mean, this team lost to Hawaii by like two touchdowns.
Yeah, Hawaii hasn't been good in a while. Michigan, Nebraska. I watched that whole game, dude.
That was a good game. That was a good game.
One thing I have to say is Nebraska's offense look years, light years ahead of last year, whatever they're doing there. Michigan, their defense, still loaded with round one talent. I actually like the play calling for some reason. I like the play calling, and I like the demeanor of the Michigan Warriors. You're not the only one that said that you didn't think that they were a playoff team. I've heard other critics say the same thing about Michigan. I still think they're a playoff team, but they look better with their temporary head coach than they do.
Hey,
head coach.
Is it me, or does a temporary head coach look like a heavy set version of Chip Kelly? Are you getting those vibes?
100%.
Are you getting those vibes? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to text it in the thread, but I figured I'd wait till the show.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, dude, Chip Kelly put on 50 pounds or what, bro?
Chip Kelly's already pretty big, dude.
Yeah, and this dude make Chip... this guy to make Chip Kelly look small. They stood next to each other. I'll tell you that right now. Rome, I agree. I like Michigan. I like every aspect about their team except the receivers are not very good. They just don't have explosiveness there. And for Nebraska, I like everything about this team except their offensive line. Michigan's D-line just really... outmanned, outgunned them. That was the difference. They were getting to the quarterback with four guys, only rushing four. I think he got sacked with six times. Maybe it was seven. That was the difference. Michigan's defensive line was too much for Nebraska's offensive line. And for me, that was it. For Michigan, I like this team. I like the quarterback. I like the play calling too. I just don't see a draftable wide receiver right now. They don't have a wide receiver that sticks out that's like, wow, this guy's good. Or he's even good for college game. I mean, average guys there at best. I think that's going to be their downfall going forward.
Yeah, Bryce Underwood, man, he didn't really do a lot in the air, but he used his arm and his legs, and he just kind of had like poise to kind of keep Michigan in this, and they eventually won. Dylan Raiola, though, I like the strides he's made. And this game, Nebraska hasn't had a big win in like 10 years. I think you talked about it last time. They were close to it. Michigan looked like the better team, but this was like as good of a loss as I've seen for Nebraska, and I feel pretty confident in the rest of the year.
It was a big time matchup for Nebraska. I think they can take a lot away from the film. I think they can compete with the big teams. Again, their issue for me was their offensive line play. You got to give the quarterback more time because, like you said, I think the strides from his first year now to his second year are much, much better.
It's so huge, dude.
Daniel Holgorsen calling the plays. They hired him late because he was a consultant. Then they hired him and threw him in the last three, four games last year. But now full offseason, this offense is good. I mean, to score, they put 27 points up on Michigan. That's not easy.
Nebraska, a lot of teams don't score 27 points on
that. Nebraska could have won this game with a better O-line play and give Michigan credit. They got some big runs there. With the running backs, Underwood got a 35-yard TD run too. I like Michigan. I like Nebraska too. I think Nebraska can win 8-9 games. Michigan's probably in that 9-10 threshold. Depending on how things go down, Ohio State, Michigan, Thanksgiving time, it's setting up to be another One of those games, man. One of those games.
It's going to be big. I was looking at Nebraska's schedule, too, because they've just beaten a whole bunch of nobodies. They shut up for the Michigan game way more than I thought they would. So, like, that, what was, like, 2.5-point favorites was at Michigan. Yeah. They really cleared that. But I really don't see them seeing, like, a really tough opponent until they face USC. That's the first week of November. But that's up there. That should be a pretty good matchup. I'm not sure how good USC is yet. I kind of inclined to think Nebraska is just a tad bit better. They have UCLA the week after. I don't know how they're going to look from here on out, but kind of lost hope. Penn State's a big one, and then they got Iowa, which could be a tricky matchup to end of the year, but it's kind of lining up for a really good season.
It's lining up, but they got to continue to march forward and put together some victories.
Yeah. Any other games you want to recap real quick before we take a quick break and jump into your games of the week?
I think we're pretty much good there. I mean, I guess we could talk real quick about Mississippi just pinning it on Tulane. Tulane had looked pretty good.
Tulane has looked good this year, and Ole Miss put an ass whooping on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ole Miss, we talked about it. I wasn't sure where their defense was at after Arkansas dropped, 38 points on them, whatever it was the week before. But they came out, balled out, showed up, and delivered. They delivered. I mean, Tulane got just shellacked. And then I want to talk about Arizona State. Rome, you're real still high on them in the Big 12. Nice road win at Baylor, setting up a big showdown as we're going to get preview Friday night with TCU coming into Sun Devil Stadium there at ASU.
Nice. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and check out your games of the week, games to watch. All right, we're back after a quick little break here. Time to get into AT's college games to watch. He sent it over in classic yellow notepad format. And I got to admit, dude, you haven't made any spelling mistakes since last year.
Getting a little wiser, man. I'm getting wiser of age, I guess.
Although, man, this penmanship is really unique.
I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah. So you got two games on Friday and the rest are on Saturday. 13 games slated for this weekend. Kick it off for us, man.
Well, we're kicking off Friday night. Two games, a little doubleheader on Friday night, starting with my Florida State Seminoles, 7-point favorites at Virginia. First ACC game for the Seminoles, coming off two dynamite blowout victories against lesser opponents, playing a tough Virginia team in Virginia. I'm going to tell you, Rome, I'm a little nervous about this one. You know, Florida State got that big win against Alabama to start the year when no one thought it was going to come. I told you, Alabama was on upset alert. That came through. But Virginia's one of those teams I like sneaking into the ACC to be pretty competitive and tough. They've played well. Only loss was at NC State. I think they lost, 42-38. Maybe it was 35-31. But it was a close game, competitive game. This quarterback for Virginia is really good, athletic. It's going to be a high-scoring game. So for the side here, I'm taking the over 59. That's the play in this one on Friday night. Florida State, Virginia, over 59 points. I think Florida State wins a close game in the end, setting up that top 5, top 10 matchup with Miami the following weekend in Tallahassee.
So you're going with the over, but you got over. Florida State winning?
Florida State wins. A close one, I think. Maybe they blow them out, but I think it's going to be close. But I like over 59. I mean, Florida State's averaging almost 35 points a game in the first quarter over the last 2 weeks. And Virginia's averaging nearly 40 points themselves.
Okay. So shootout.
I think it's going to be a shootout. Virginia's going to be able to get to at least 24 points. And I see Florida State at least getting 38 in this one.
All right. I take it.
Over 59. Then we got TCU. TCU famously took it to Bill Belichick and North Carolina. You know, we haven't really talked about them. We don't really have time to go on for a tangent on how bad they've been, but they've just been bad.
We did not get a chance to go over that. Wow.
They've just been bad. We'll leave it at that. Okay. TCU's look good coming off that win against SMU. Arizona State, like I mentioned at the end of the last segment, big win to start conference play over Baylor. I'm not going to lie, I love Arizona State here, -3 Friday night. Home opener for them in the Big 12. TCU is kind of really too one-dimensional to me, too pass-happy, really not having their running game going. You got to be real balanced against Arizona State. Arizona State is balanced. I think that's the difference here. I like Arizona State to win by at least 7. So give me Arizona State -3 over TCU on Friday night.
Wow. Okay. I like it.
Saturday, Jason's not here. His Notre Dame Fighting Irish take on the Arkansas Razorbacks. I don't know if there's a team right now in college football. I would put this comparison. Arkansas reminds me of the Denver Broncos in the NFL. Like, so many tough losses. You go to the Mississippi game, you go to the Memphis game, games that they've been playing well and then found a way to lose. Arkansas is averaging 28 points a game in the first half. Second half, their offense hasn't been as good. Rome, we talked about it. I like Notre Dame. You like Notre Dame. Jason loves Notre Dame. I'm going Notre Dame -4. It's a big road game. I think Arkansas is kind of done what they can do. I think they're going to lost their mojo of these couple tough losses. I know the crowd's going to be worked up, but I like this Carr kid for Notre Dame. Really good quarterback. The defense, I think Notre Dame can contain the running game of Arkansas. I like Notre Dame -4 over Arkansas.
Let's see. Arkansas has up to this year, wins against Alabama A&M, Arkansas State. Those are both blowouts. Had a tough loss to Ole Miss by 6 points, which I believe Arkansas probably should have won that one if I remember that correctly.
And they had a chance to win it.
And then a tough 1 point loss to Memphis.
And they lost it because they fumbled the ball in field goal range at the end of the game.
I missed that. I think I missed the end of that game.
So basically they were inside the 20, running the clock out to set up the field goal. And the guy dove for a first down and got punched out. Memphis got the recovery and eventually got the win. So
that's crazy.
I think Arkansas goes on a 3-game losing streak. We're talking about coaches getting canned.
Yeah.
This Arkansas coach, the seat's hot. It's warm, but it gets hot with a loss here against Notre Dame. Real hot. A lot of coaches could be on the hot seat in week 5 in college football.
Okay. Next game.
Next game. I'm calling upset here, Rome. I like Pittsburgh at home to upset Louisville. I like this Pittsburgh team. They're a solid group, tough team. Louisville, this is their first road test of the year. They've kind of had a couple struggles up and down, really been inconsistent to me. I like Pittsburgh at home to upset Louisville. I think Pittsburgh's pretty good. I know they lost a tough one against West Virginia 2 weeks ago, but I like Pittsburgh here, +4.5. I think they're going to win this game outright, but give me Pittsburgh to cover at home against Louisville.
Wow. I think you skipped over the Indiana-Iowa game.
I did. I see that there. I mean, kind of like Illinois kind of skipped over them when they had them on the schedule last week too, right?
100%.
I like Indiana. I like a -7.5 here. Iowa got lucky last week and beat Rutgers. That was one of our plays on Friday.
Yeah.
Rutgers missed a kick, had another kick blocked, and gave up a 95-yard kickoff return as well. Indiana's not going to make those mistakes. Defensively, they're better. You mentioned the quarterback, Mendoza. What is he, the front runner for the Heisman?
Now transfer
out of Cal. So he was at Cal last year.
I thought he was out of Washington State.
California. Washington State's the Oklahoma guy.
Mateer?
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got him mixed up.
So Mateer, Washington State, Mendoza, Cal.
So, every time I hear Mateer's name, by the way, I always think about that football movie, like John Mateer. I think it's Keeping Up with the Titans. He was a linebacker. Oh no, Sounds like a movie name. Sounds really like such a typical like country, like chill name. Know. He's cool. You know. Yeah.
And that, you know, it's interesting because John Mortier obviously was part of that possible gambling scandal as he was betting on the college games and NCAA tournament. Remember before the season that kind of got, you know, thrown under the rug and we just kicked off the games and forgot about it since he got his PayPal account literally labeling USC versus UCLA.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So screenshots that people took back in 2021 or whatever year that was.
That probably did happen, to be honest with you. It probably did happen, but they're just kids. Who cares?
Yeah, it was only $20.
Yeah.
You know, they called it an inside joke, but there's really not much way to prove it unless you really dig deep into it. And like I said, I don't mind guys. I mean, we've been doing $20 bets since we were fucking 5 years old. Like, let's take it easy, people.
By the way, dude, I am looking forward to our steak dinner.
I had a steak tonight, so it was pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
Detroit Lions looking good, dude.
So
good.
I never turned down a steak dinner, Rome. Whether or not I got to buy or it's on the house.
No, dude, you're actually phenomenal about steak dinners. All right, so Indiana is going to – do they cover?
Yeah, I like Indiana to cover here. I'll take a minus 7.5.
Wow.
Too much offense for Iowa. And
you know what? Yeah, they just blew out a way better Indiana team, so I like that.
Yeah. I was
or Illinois, my bad.
Yeah. I mean, I was sneaky, man. I mean, when you think they're gonna get beat, they show up, and when you think they're gonna show up, they don't. So we'll see. But I do like Indiana here.
I think Iowa has low key one of the best uniforms, mascots, color matches in all of sports. But I also am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. It could just be the black and gold, I don't know.
I've always liked their logo, whether it's on football or the basketball hardwood. I do like, you know, the
it's a good logo.
Iowa Hawkeyes. So
yeah.
Agree.
You got Tennessee next.
Tennessee against Mississippi State, 7.5, 64 over under. I'm going with Tennessee here. I know it's their first road game. They had a neutral site game to start the year against Syracuse. Syracuse is a pretty good football team. Unfortunately, they lost their quarterback last week to that Achilles tear. Kind of going to ruin their season, possibly.
Oh, wow.
But Mississippi State, you know, I called it 2 weeks back that they would upset Arizona State at home. They're tough there. They just don't have the talent and the athletes, I think, to keep pace with Tennessee. Tennessee, Rome, we saw a couple weeks back when they had Georgia on the ropes, should have probably won that game. Field goal kicker kind of got a little tight, choked that one away. But Tennessee, really stacked team, really good team. Can't afford a road slip up like this. I think Tennessee gets it done. I think they roll Mississippi State. Just too many players, too much offense. They'll get it done here.
Okay. They cover?
Yeah, I like Tennessee to cover. And then probably, well, one of the two games of the week for sure, you got LSU going in to Ole Miss to take on Mississippi. LSU's a 1.5-point dog. Mississippi is, you know, playing well. Lane Kiffin, you know he's trying to get this win over Brian Kelly and the Tigers. I'm going to ride with Mississippi. I like the quarterback.
Wow.
I like the quarterback, the guy that's come in and replaced the other QB that got injured. This guy, he's playing good. He's a better thrower of the ball. Maybe not as athletic, but I think he's underrated there as well. And LSU's looked shaky in offense. I know they played against a bad team last week and got, whatever, 50, 60 points. But, hey, who doesn't get 50, 60 points against, like, Texas Southern? I mean, everybody can score on those guys. So it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a hell of a game. It's going to be definitely one of the two screens that I'm focused watching games. But I like Lane Kiffin. I like Mississippi to pull out the win at home as a slight favorite over LSU.
How much did they win by?
Less than a touchdown.
Okay, less than a touchdown.
And so I'd say they probably win. I'm going to say they win between 2 and 5 points. It's going to be a tight game.
All right. So taking the minus 1.5. I don't know if you've heard, but Lane Kiffin's daughter is dating a LSU starting linebacker, I believe. And they just came out on social about it.
Is it Meeks or Weeks? Is it that guy?
Can't remember who it was. Okay. And so someone on X was saying, like, pretty sure Lane Kiffin's going to be extra motivated this week to lay down, pick the over on this one. And he responded to it. He actually said, yeah, definitely get the over. We're bringing it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they're going to need to bring it because LSU is really good. I mean, LSU is as talented as anybody gets. We've seen that already this year.
They don't look like the number four ranked team, though. It's a little high.
Well, if they beat Mississippi, if they win Mississippi, that'll be wins at Clemson and Mississippi. I know Clemson's had their struggles, but if you can win an opening game at Clemson, you win this game, and you beat Florida, that's a nice little stretch of 3 of 5 games to have victories for. This is a big game. I don't want to say it's a playoff eliminator because I think both these teams are playoff bound if they can hold true to hold serve, but it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one in Oxford there.
Nice. Ole Miss, kind of shocked that you would do that. You got next game.
Well, we've been talking about Illinois a lot, right? And you've been talking about USC. Like, I think I'm in agreement to Rome. I don't know how good USC is. I don't think Illinois is nearly as bad against ranked opponents as they were last week. I'm going with Illinois to cover this game. I like Illinois +6.5. They're going to bounce back. You can't get embarrassed.
Dude, like USC that. Is favored by 6.5?
That's a lot of points.
What the hell? They can't.
It's a lot of points.
That's ridiculous. Illinois two?
It's an Illinois two.
Wait, was the last game in Illinois as well?
No, that was in Indiana.
Oh. David, they're not getting any respect.
No respect, Rome. So I think, you know, when you're a defense that's, you know, and Illinois, I think, came in ranked as a top 10 defense going into that game, and they got embarrassed. They've been embarrassed the whole week. Now you go home, screaming fans. You got the, you know, West Coast, pretty boy, USC, the marching band, the men of Troy coming to town. First time these games maybe have ever meant, you know, program history. I don't know, you know, because it's Big Ten, Pac-12 back in the day. I like Illinois here. I like this USC football team. I think USC maybe squeezes out the win, but I like Illinois to cover this game for sure. That's one of my better bets of the week. I like Illinois +6.5.
Wow, 6.5. It's just Illinois didn't do much last week, so everyone's just jumping off the bandwagon really fast. They have to respond.
Yeah, I mean, it's perception. I mean, perception is, you know, maybe Illinois is not as good as they presume to be. They weren't the number 9 ranked team in the country, but I think Illinois is between that 15 to 20th bubble. But I think USC is probably around the same. So to be almost a touchdown favorite on the road, that's a steep hill for USC to cover since they didn't look that good at Purdue, who's way worse than Illinois, and they only won that game by like 17 points on the road. So,
which is why I asked earlier.
So
I know they got the victory, but it was like, that final score is really deceiving.
Yeah. So I'm taking the points. I'm taking Illinois +6.5.
All right. Auburn, Texas A&M. You have like a love affair with Texas A&M.
I do have a love affair with Texas A&M, but I'm taking Auburn +6.5 here.
Woo!
You know, Auburn showed me a little something that I didn't think they had. The defense was fired up against Oklahoma last week.
They're good.
Tough loss, but they got to clean that offensive lineup, Rome. They gave up 10 sacks last week, their quarterback, including the late safety sack for the cover by Oklahoma. So, hey, I'm all for that, man. Backdoor cover that goes in your favor. That was a thing of beauty.
There was something that happened in that game. I can't remember what it was.
All the...
that kind of tilted for Oklahoma's favor. And there was chatter bet on X that people were saying Auburn probably should have won that game.
I don't think Auburn should have won the game, but the play you're talking about, it's like... I don't know what they called it, but... Oklahoma basically pulled a rope-a-dope because they faked like a guy was going out of the game, but he didn't really go out of the game.
Oh.
And then they snuck him down the sidelines for a touchdown. Uh-huh. And you can't, you know, quote unquote, play confusing signals of guys on the field.
But allegedly they already spoke to the refs saying like he was already eligible. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah.
How bad was the play? I didn't get a chance to rewatch it yet.
So, you know how guys start jogging like they're going off the field and like other guys are coming in. So he basically was lightly jogging off the field.
Did it look like motion as well, though?
Huh?
Like, could it look like motion, though?
No, it was no motion.
No?
Like, it was like, so these guys were huddled and he was going off, but he never went off the field. And so he lined up legally and let the ref check with the referee that he was lined up legally. And the ref was like, yes, you're good. And there was only 11 guys on the field. And since he never checked out of the game, you don't have to hold the ball to wait for the defense to get set because it's not a substitution. Hmm. And then they just snapped it real quick, got the touchdown. Now, the NFL used to do a lot of this on trick punt plays where they would fake like a guy's going off and he would sneak down the sideline and he would be like, oh, where'd this guy come from? You know, he wasn't lined up in punt formation. It was the old, you know, NFL trick play. So, I don't really think it should have been a penalty. It's just one of those, you know, hey, like a trick play, trick formation, we fooled you, and we got you. So, it's how it goes sometimes.
Crazy. That's what it was. I remember that now.
But I'm taking Auburn plus 6.5 against Texas A&M.
That would be a big win if they could pull it off.
I think A&M's probably going to win the game. I want A&M to win that game. As you mentioned, Rome, I do have a love affair for Texas A&M. And obviously, Texas Tech, because I got family over there. So, you know, who knows?
Texas guy, you just don't like Texas. Go figure.
You know, Austin, it's a different kind of town for me. But
have you been there?
I would love to go to Austin.
It's actually really cool.
But I like all those towns. Honestly, I would go to Austin. I would go to Fort Worth. I've been to Fort Worth. I would go to Lubbock. I'd go to College Station in Texas A&M. I would go to Houston. I'd go to all those places. I mean, I think Texas would be a great place to go chill and hang out. Maybe they want to throw us some tickets. We'll go down there, do a live show.
I would go out to Texas. It's kind of fun. All right. Next game, you got Oregon against Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, Rome, this is another great game. I mean, we've got three games of top 10 matchups this weekend. And this is another one. Penn State hasn't looked great. Oregon has looked really good here going in on the road. I'm going to ride with the home team, Penn State. I mean, James Franklin never beats anybody in the top 10. He hasn't in a while. I've got Penn State winning the national title. Oregon's looked great. But this is a different animal to go on the road, young team, young quarterback to get this victory. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to ride with Penn State coming off the bye week to prepare for this game. James Franklin and these guys have put all their eggs in this basket. There's not a coach more in America that needs a big win and a statement win. I think Penn State gets it. They beat Oregon by at least a touchdown. I like Penn State by 10 points in this one.
Wow. Okay. By at least 10 points?
Yeah, I think Penn State wins by 10 or more. That might be crazy talk. It might be that's 12:30 at night, but yeah. Either way, I like them to cover.
All right, sounds good. Okay, Alabama, Georgia. Ooh.
I mean, this game seems like it's lost a little bit of steam given where Alabama is as a program. But I think they've regrouped after Florida State beat them. And I think everybody's starting to jump on the train and realize maybe Florida State is a top five football team in the country. We'll find out on Friday after that game of Virginia. I'm going to go Georgia here. Georgia always seems when they play Alabama, they always seem to play at Alabama. This is the first time I can remember Alabama ever going to Georgia in the last 10, 12 years. I don't remember the last time they played in Athens, Georgia. I'm going with the Bulldogs, like that Allstate commercial where the dude's just barking at his boss. I think there's going to be a lot of barking at the Bama fans Saturday night. I like the Bulldogs over Bama. Give me Georgia -3.
Georgia just, I think, won, pull out a tough victory against Tennessee.
That was a hell of a game. Hell of a game.
That was an overtime game. I don't remember who they played off before that.
Nobody of significance. I think yeah. Akron and maybe somebody else in there.
So a tough matchup here. How Bama's good is Georgia? We don't know yet.
I don't know. I mean, I thought Tennessee was going to beat them, and Tennessee had them on the ropes. But Georgia's not ready to relinquish their power atop the SEC.
You did call that, actually. Tennessee was close. They should have won that, actually.
They should have won. Remember the kicker? He got cold feet, man. He got cold feet. Tennessee still did cover, so we did hit that. They still did cover. But I'm not sure how good really Georgia is. Gunnar Stockton.
I don't know either.
He's shown me a lot of fight.
That's what's weird about so far this college football year and probably the NFL too. You still have a handful of teams that are highly regarded, and we just don't know whether they're good or not still. But there hasn't been enough football games to be played. But it is September.
It's September, and it's also your schedule too, right? Yeah. I mean, we watched Alabama get whipped by Florida State. People basically said they sucked. Then they come back and win the next week 70-3, and then they demolish a bad Wisconsin team like 42-10, whatever that was. And now everybody's like, hey, you know what? Alabama's not bad, and guess what? Florida State's really good.
Yeah.
And then Georgia literally had no passing touchdowns the first two games of the year. We were kind of wondering if Gunnar Stockton could throw the ball. First play against Tennessee, they get like a 50-yard pass for almost a touchdown. And they get into shootout of a 44-41 win, whatever that was. So, like I said, Georgia never plays Alabama, it seems like, at home. I like Georgia here. I'm just going to stick with the more experienced team, the better coach. Give me the Bulldogs.
Ohio State, Washington. Why is this part of your list?
It's a big game in the Big Ten. I think for both teams. I mean, personally, it's on my list because Ohio State never plays Washington. Washington's kind of getting a lot of love here. This betting line has been betting down. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not high on Washington like everybody seems to be right now. They beat a bad Washington State team, a bad Colorado State team, and somebody else as well. I think Ohio State goes into Washington, the Pacific Northwest, and blows Washington out. Just blows them out. It's not even going to be close. I think they're going to win by 3 scores in this game.
Washington beat out Colorado State 30-21. UC Davis, which I didn't even know they had a football team, 70-10.
Yeah. And then you don't have a football team, you can beat 70-10.
And then they won the Apple Cup, right?
It's the Apple Cup.
Apple Cup. 59-24. It was an ass whooping.
Washington State sucks. UC Davis, I mean, that's just a bunch of nerds pitting on helmets and pads, it sounds like, from that score.
That's crazy to talk to. That's crazy. And Washington Colorado has a State? They have a tough schedule. They face Michigan in a couple weeks. Rutgers, which
I like Rutgers.
Can be kind of tricky. They face Illinois after Michigan. Wisconsin. Which I'm just trying to blink at Wisconsin. Maybe this is a down year for them. They're usually pretty tough. Yeah, down year. Purdue, which has been, I don't even know if Purdue's good or not.
Not very good, but better than the 1-11 or 0-12 record they had last year. We'll leave it at that.
They got UCLA, and then they ended.
I do know UCLA is not good. I do know that.
You know what? Someone did an article about UCLA. And they talked about how UCLA did spend some money in the offseason, right, for NIL. And when I was looking at the comments about UCLA, because I used to go to UCLA games, it was never that empty. It was fun tailgate, drinking in the Rose Bowl, parking lot, throwing the football. I remember getting a football stuck in one of the trees. I'm still pretty pissed about it. So seeing those pictures about from the UCLA game, and then you hear like Petro some money from down in Southern California talking about how they should build a stadium, like a little 30-foot stadium.
I agree with that.
I don't know, man. Westwood's a really interesting spot. It's kind of tight. It's in Brentwood. It's a lot of money in there. It's like pretty ritzy, building a stadium there doesn't really fit. I like the Rose Bowl. I've been going to the Rose Bowl for my whole life, except for, granted, I have not gone much since I've been up here in the Bay Area in the last 10 years. So whatever has happened in the last 10 years, it's far from what it used to be, because it was a packed house, great times. Yeah, that's all.
I saw what Petro said. I couldn't agree more. I'd agree, build a 30, 40,000 seat stadium on campus. It sounds like they've got the land and everything set up there that they could do it. And like you mentioned, like play USC at the Rose Bowl, play a Michigan, play an Ohio State. You know, yeah. where you can get 80,000 people in there, do it. Because I mean, if you got a 75 to 80,000 stadium and you're only realistically getting 20,000, 25, it's the optics don't look good, Rome. It just does not look good when you get those aerial shots and you paid what you mentioned. They paid New Mexico, what, 1.3, 1.5 million. And they just go in there and whip you. I will say this. UCLA's looking a lot like my Florida State did last year, where it just looks like you're basically taking on more shit than you can handle. But look, if you get the right coaches in there, you get the right players and you have the money to spend, you can get back in the top 10 or 15. It's really, no matter what you say with college football or even college basketball, you're only a year away if you get the right guys and the right money lined up.
Dude, I liked the way it was going with Chip Kelly. It was a lot of fun. We were beating up on USC, or at least, you know, being competitive. It was a good time. And he just bounces out. Like, that really changed everything. That really, like, at the worst possible time, late in the offseason, it totally ripped apart basically the last 6 years of what they were building in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, I think Chip Kelly did a good job there. I mean, better than any coach has done there in what, probably the last, 15, 20 years? I mean, I know.
Say 20 years, but.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, UCLA's.
Am I still UCLA's... living the Carl Durrell year? How long ago
we probably in high school, dude, back then. I don't know if you want to go that far back, but.
All right. Let's circle back to Ohio State and Washington. I don't see why it's a big game, but I got
Ohio State winning by 3 scores. I love Ohio State -8.
By 3 scores. All right. I can kind of dig that. Your last game of the week.
Last game to watch is for all the degenerate guys, Rome. You know, you're out 10 o'clock, sneaking into that last bar. Boom. Third quarter starting. Colorado BYU. You know, you go, hey, that's that Dion guy, right? Hey, that's BYU, the freshman quarterback. Lefty, number 47. You know, when's the last time you saw a quarterback that was a lefty number 47? That's something like Jason would be, a lefty quarterback number 47. That's the number he would wear. But I'm going to go over 48.5 in this game. I'm going to say Colorado-Nebraska, the play here, is over 48.5. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Late second half is going to be full of action. Close game. Ultimately, I think BYU pulls it out, but I'm going to go 48.5 on the over Colorado and BYU.
Okay, two over-unders. You typically don't do a lot of over-unders, and you got two this week. Kind of surprised. That's usually my thing.
That is usually your thing, Rome, but as they say, when in Rome, you got to think outside the box. So I've got some over-unders this week in the NFL when we do that. Obviously, we'll do our side picks, but I do have some over-under bets that I do like for that as well.
Any guaranteed locks for this week? You have three that you want to give the guys?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to give you one on Friday night, Arizona State -3. I think I already mentioned Ohio State -8.
I think that's a safe lock.
And I'll give you give me Illinois +6.5. Put them on the board as a lock of the week. That'd be my three top plays and the games to watch to bet this week.
I like it. All right.
Don't let me down, Illinois. Don't let me down, man.
Don't let us down, guys.
Because I plan on pinning you in the Westgate, my personal Westgate selection, too. So do not be letting me down.
I kind of do like that Oregon game, though. Or no, Ohio State game.
I really like that game.
That almost sounds like a guarantee.
Well, might as well guarantee it right here.
I might be guaranteeing that one.
Yeah, I like it. I like that one a lot.
All right, cool. We are going to put this up on YouTube. Check us out on YouTube, or if you're watching this on YouTube, I guess you already know. Podcasts live on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like listening to your favorite podcasts, including our show, Swords from the Sofa. Be sure to subscribe, like us, give us a review, a 5-star review. You know you want to do it. We need to feel some love here.
Leave a comment too. Like, leave a comment.
Leave a comment. You can leave comments now on Spotify. Give us 5 stars. We need to get some reviews on here. We know people are listening, but we need people to take the next step and leave a fucking comment. Boost us up, baby. Boost us up. All right. Any final thoughts, Aaron, before we check out for today?
Nah, I mean, I think we kind of covered everything in the first segment for the recap of last week. Coaches getting fired. I like the preview of games we got this week. Romy mentioned 13. I agree. I think it's the most I've had this year since at least week one.
Oh, from last year, you had fucking 20.
I think I had 18 or 21.
It was wild. We're like, dude, who's watching all these games? We're like, dude, that's all I do.
I've between starting tomorrow with Thursday NFL football till Monday, you're on the couch watching games. It will start at 9 a.m. Saturday, college football, 2 TVs going, and that will roll all the way till 11:30 in the night. Once I get done watching BYU Colorado, if I make it that late.
Yeah.
Since there's no F1, I can sleep in on Sunday. So that helps me tremendously.
No F1. I do like the games, especially all the big games are in the morning or early afternoon. I am scheduled to work at the restaurant this weekend, but that's all depending on tomorrow's exam, which I'm hoping I finally get the news that something's torn and I'm out 3 to 4 months, because honestly, this shit hurts. We'll see.
This game didn't make the games to watch because, you know, who would want to watch it? UCLA versus Northwestern. But I like UCLA to cover 6 points at Northwestern.
Shut up, dude.
Just up. I'm not going to watch it.
Shut up. Last thing you gave us, UCLA to cover. They got their ass beat.
Yeah, that was against Utah.
Yeah. What's the game for UCLA?
Versus Northwestern.
Northwestern. Let's pull it up real quick. Dude, what a fall from grace from them. Even getting some respect at the end of last year, being competitive, and then just a no-show this year so far. It's been pretty bad. They already had a bye week, huh?
Yeah, last week was their bye, right?
Thank God. Oh, that's why they fired Foster.
Yeah. Okay. Who's the interim coach?
I don't know.
Was it like a special teams coordinator guy or something?
Don't know. Northwestern. I feel like I played with Northwestern for some reason on college football 2002. One of those iterations.
I don't know. Northwestern's a school I would never play with.
I know I played with Kansas State a few times.
I love Kansas State. I love playing with Kansas State. Kansas State Northwestern. It doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, so I like UCLA to cover 6 points here.
UCLA plays Penn State the week after. That's brutal. Then they play Indiana. You know, they have a couple, like, possibly, I don't know, like, maybe it's winnable against Michigan State and Maryland. Doubt
Maryland,
it.
Maryland's a no. Where's the Michigan State game at?
In Michigan.
That's a no. Okay, I'll run down the list. I'll tell you if they're going to win a game. They could beat Northwestern.
Then they go into Indiana to play at the end of October.
They're going to get destroyed.
then Nebraska comes to town. Let's get tickets to that one. I am serious about that one. I do want to go to that one. Nebraska, Rome,
you can walk in for free. Put your Nebraska hoodie on, and you're in for free.
I'm going to get a new Nebraska gear, but I'm also going to have my UCLA jersey there just in case.
Why don't you just do like those family members do where it's half and half, like half That's red, stupid. Half blue.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
You might, yeah. you know, cut.
Everyone knows.
Cut the jersey short so you got your little belly button, whatever you want to go. How right
there. Wow. Oscar, Juco, or Jessica, or whatever that guy from the 49ers wife did. Make me a dress or something.
Oh, Juszczyk, yeah.
Juszczyk, there you go.
And she makes some pretty nice stuff. She's pretty talented on that stuff.
Then after Nebraska, they have to go into Ohio State. Wow. This is a tough schedule, man. This is a tough schedule for a bad team. And then they play Washington.
And then what, USC?
And then USC.
Rome, I'm going to say it right now. If they don't beat Northwestern on Saturday, I don't know if they're going to win a game.
Yeah, I don't even know how good Maryland is.
Maryland's not bad. Where's that at, Maryland? Or are they at home against them?
Let me go back, dude.
Because Maryland is not bad.
It's in the Rose Bowl.
Okay. Slight chance, but Maryland's not bad, dude. They're not bad at all. They just smoked up on Wisconsin pretty good at Wisconsin this last weekend. So Maryland's not bad.
That's not a good sign because Wisconsin's usually a tough out no matter how good or bad they are.
Especially in Madison, Wisconsin. So I'm going to say right now, I'm not sure they win a game. I mean, I think they can beat Northwestern. That's why I say they're going to cover the 6 points. But maybe Deshaun Foster didn't get fired. Maybe he just resigned and said, I can't afford to go 0-12. I don't want it on my resume. That's tough, dude, because has UCLA football ever not won a game in program history? That's a really good quiz question.
They've been at least competitive in my lifetime. It's been very far few years like this. I can't remember the last time it's been this bleak. Besides, I think like the first Chip Kelly year, but I think that was a COVID year. So that's kind of like a wash for me. Well, it hasn't been great the last 10 years, let's be honest.
Let's be honest, it hasn't, Rome. And you mentioned that schedule. This feels a lot like a Florida State season last year. It just is what it is. Where it's just like you're scraping to try to get a win, and you're just gonna get your ass whipped week in, week out against the good teams.
Yeah. All right, I'm done talking about UCLA. Awesome. College games of the week, college games to watch. Aaron, a great slate we got locked in for you. What's your record now before we go from last week? Last week, I think you were you counted the bonus game that wasn't part of the.
Yeah, I did count the bonus game because you got it. It was a win. So yeah. I would have counted it as a loss too. Yeah. And, okay. Hey, give me UCLA +6. It's a bonus game. I'm throwing that out there right now. You know, I'll take the L if they can't get it done, because if they can't get it done, screw you guys. Go 0-12. I don't care. We 28 wins, 20 losses on the year in games of the week to watch.
Hold on, what is it?
28 wins, 20 losses.
Oh.
We're hitting 60%, right? That threshold.
Yeah.
And these aren't even like our necessarily say best bets. These are just games to watch, games to.
Yeah. No.
We're giving you a side and pick on every one of those. But yeah, last week was my first losing week on that. Good Westgate, though. I was good. I had a good Westgate run, though.
I'm glad you were good at Westgate. Yeah.
Well, we went 4-3 as a group, so it's not bad.
I could have sworn we were so much better last year.
I don't know. We might have been throwing more over-unders in last year.
I only did over-unders, but basically. I'm like, this is definitely going over. All right, cool, man. Awesome record. We'll update the socials for that. And next episode will be NFL lines. Jason should be there for that. Hopefully we have a special guest. Not sure if recording early enough for him or not, but we'll keep you.
What time's the plan to record tomorrow?
Don't know.
Probably.
I have to give up stand up for it, but I really need to get some reps for stand up. So I don't really have another chance to do it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing stand up for sure, the guest isn't coming on. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
That's a gimme. Yeah. You can pin me down for that.
By the way, I did talk to my friend who sneaks into the Niners games. He said he did it again. He showed me pictures of where he started, where he ended up. He started
like in like going through the tunnels or however he gets there.
He started by sitting upstairs in the bleachers, way up high. He ended up down on the lower level. And then at the end of the game, he was in the VIP section with catering somehow.
So how's he get the VIP? I mean, this guy's not loaded of any cash.
Don't know. I did invite him to come on the pod, and he said he's going to try to go again this weekend on Sunday.
Yeah, they got Jacksonville.
I kind of want to go to that game, actually.
I think it's going to be a good game.
Because the Niners games, they don't have like a lot of enticing games. They have the Bears. I want to go to the Bears game. Rams, of course, kind of look good. But also, I'd rather go see the Steelers down in Chargers. And that was like a handful of games I'd rather go to than that. But I might have to tag team with him on this Sunday to kind of see how it works, because it might be kind of fun.
You might as well, to see really how it works. I mean, did he say how much money he spent total?
No, I was busy limping around the restaurant and yeah. All right.
It's interesting, man. It's real interesting. What's this guy look like, dude?
You know, he's like,
is he like a charisma dude? He got a lot of charisma?
Nah, he just looks like the typical Hispanic guy. With like the weird like fade haircut that looks awkward because it's like
he got like some fake earrings too.
Fake earrings, the Edgar haircut, just like very typical.
He got the gold or silver chain too around the neck.
Too much cologne.
I mean, maybe that's why he gets in. They're just tired of fucking getting a whiff of him. Like, hey, just pass it on, bro.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. I honestly wanted to see like put the little like have a little pocket. Put the phone there and just record the whole session going through and what is said and how it's done, because it's, you know.
Oh, no. So I could ruin it for everybody. That's a tough one.
I just show us. I mean,
yeah,
that's it. We're not here to leak. I mean,
it'll be on our Discord channel or Patreon. Yeah.
I mean, he can come on. He probably should wear a mask or, you know, do it in the dark. I don't want to get him in trouble here.
Exactly,
because some guy's gonna, you know, listen to the show and be like, that's the guy, he's been doing this whole
we'll
time.
Do like what Pablo Torre finds out, how he has like his guests. Like,
I honestly, Rome, I'm more fascinated by this story than I am Ballmer's and circumventing the salary cap,
dude. This one seems, I haven't heard
anything. I want to know how you circumvent Levi Stadium, because that's what we're getting in the catering.
And the catering. Now he ended up in the VIP section. He did show me pictures. I'm like, what? How?
Exactly. How?
How? I don't know.
What's this guy do? What's he do for work?
He works at my restaurant. He works at several restaurants.
High end? Does he work high end?
He's not a high end server. You know, the fact that we work at the same restaurants, it's more about me, you know, not working at a Michelin restaurant more than anything else, you know.
But does he work at a Michelin? Is that kind of like his way to sneak in?
He would not work at a Michelin restaurant. He's not that level.
Let me ask you this, Rome. Does he seem like an honest or kind of a full of shit guy? Like, if you were to meet him, you're like, yeah, this guy's just, something's off. He's a bit of a BS or full of shit guy. Because that's the vibes I'm kind of getting based off what he's doing.
Yeah, his eyes are always slanted. He got like his little earrings already plugged in. You know, just always got the joint rolled up. It's He's just like one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this pod up. Source from the sofa. NFL Lions next. Thanks for the recap, Aaron. Looking forward to having Jason. We have to have Jason next time because we got to catch up with his Notre Dame stuff and see how he's feeling. He's on cloud 9 right now. I'll do it. We are out.